The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berugin.
Hey, welcome everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. This is Jack Berugin. Welcome to another show, another day where we bring the two minds together. That is the mind of the street and the mind in the pit, folks. Bringing them all together, trying to make heads or tails of what's going on and what happened today. Well, there was a lot of green on the board, if you noticed. We saw another rally a day after we saw a rally yesterday. You know what this is, folks? And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this is a Romney rally. Yes, I said it. You heard me. It's the Romney rally. And why? Because he has pulled even with the president in the polls. And I have said it time and time again. This is a market that is looking for a Romney victory, for it to keep going higher. And we're talking about significantly higher, at least in my opinion, folks. Again, this is always a pleasure being with you. This is a very interesting day. A lot happened today. If you're just joining us or if you're just getting on board with what's happened, you had Citi, which had good earnings. Remember, Citibank came out, Citigroup came out, actually surprised everybody. Vikram Pandit resigned. I think I would have loved to have been a fly in that boardroom on the wall just listening to the dialogue, because it must have been heated for a sitting CEO to resign along with some other, you know, high profile person on that board and on management. That is a significant development for any company, let alone a major financial institution. What's even more strange, I guess, and odd in my opinion, is the action of Citigroup, which went down immediately on the news and then proceeded to rally on what is one of the more interesting reversals I think I've ever seen in the stock in recent years. And all of which, you know what, leads us to, you know, understand valuation, folks. You keep hearing me talking about it. That was another prime example. But more importantly, there's something there that, you know, you could probably read between the lines. You know, Pandit was the last of the names from the 08 problem. Maybe Jamie Dimon might be around from those days, but, you know, remember, he wasn't the problem. Jamie Dimon didn't go asking for money, whereas Pandit and Citi did. You know, you had, you know, BlankFi, you had AIG with their problems, you had, you know, Goldman Sachs, you know, obviously had problems, both perception problems and real problems. And, you know, I guess with Pandit gone, maybe, just maybe, we can get some of this old, you know, class warfare garbage that seems to be brewing every now and then behind us too, at least for the time being. But, you know, we did have, I call it the Romney rally. And in fact, we're going to have Alan Rohrbach on in the next segment. We're going to go over things with him a little bit. But more than that, and I think it's going to be interesting, is that tonight, of course, is the debate. Now, I say that because you would have thought that we would have seen very little happen today, all right, because of the fact that you have got the debate tonight. But no, interesting enough, you know, not only today, but yesterday too. You know, we saw 2 days of solid gains here in the market in what should be a very quiet, choppy market condition. Now, it tells me one of two things. You know, either this market is illiquid, which, by the way, I think it is, and or, and there's a slash between the and the or, you're looking at a very confused marketplace. Folks, I think that's a combination of both things here. You've got a confused, illiquid market before the election. And what happens in that case? Well, when somebody's got something to do, it leaves a big footprint, like 30 points higher in the NASDAQ and 100 points higher in the Dow. Look, they can't help it. Why? Well, because if they've got money to put to work, they can only wait for so long. You know, they try to buy those pullbacks, but when you have got that giant ship to turn around, like I've always said, and it's a lagoon, folks, it's not even a bay, and the lagoon has gotten smaller and smaller. That's the idea of an illiquid market, and it's almost impossible to do it without leaving this huge footprint. The last 2 days, folks, have been an asset allocation into equities, plain and simple. You're seeing the euro going up, you're seeing the dollar going down, and you're seeing cash being put into stocks. The question is, will we see that same action into commodities? You know, there's an interesting thing happening. In fact, I did want to bring it up to you. Interesting story that the Financial Times had where the Iranians are talking about a biological or a chemical type of warfare, which I've never heard before. They're talking about polluting the Straits of Hormuz to the point where ships will not be able to navigate. Now, that's got, you know, obvious environmental, you know, disaster written all over it. But on top of that, remember, it's also where the Saudis, who desalinate their water, get their drinking supply from. So it's a very interesting development, something that I have not yet seen reported here on the news. But it's something that was brought to my attention when I was out in Europe last week. And I know that my friends in Europe who talk about it all the time, because they're much closer to the situation. But I bring that up not to be, you know, the messenger of bad news, but to say, be careful being short crude oil. If that is one of the, I guess, drastic measures that is taken by a regime which is becoming even more desperate as the days go on. And why? Well, because their reserves are full, folks. All right. And Tehran right now is worried because they are getting a lot of instability. And that's an educated younger crowd. You know, you've got, what, half of the population under 30 in Tehran. So I say it to you because I worry that there is something brewing there, and if that's the case, look for that to be the catalyst for oil and for gold to make some major moves. And you know what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit about that with Alan Rohrbach in a little while too. But you know, the rally that we have seen these last 2 days, folks, has a message written all over it. That message is that the market likes what it is starting to see politically, but I don't want to get too excited. You know, I see the market go up as I see the polls go up. You know, it's something that I said. In fact, I said it on the open markets. And if you haven't gone to the CME and checked out the open markets, please do. You know, I know we put a link, I think, on our site to it. But it's a wonderful thing that the CME is doing now. In fact, they want me to start doing interviews with people. So I'll bring on a couple of names that we see on TV every now and then. Jeff Carter, you know, Ira Harris, maybe even Alan. Laura, I'd love to get Alan on TV there. You know, where we can actually talk about the issues firsthand, and maybe have a good frank 5-10 minute discussion face to face where people can actually download it and really get the, you know, the type of distribution. And for me, folks, that's really the key, is getting people out there educated as to what is going on. And what is happening right now is very interesting. You know, and what I mean by that is I talk all about valuation, but when you see these moves take place, it goes up on, in fact, I was talking to one portfolio manager who's trying to buy the market, and he said, Jack, it's like trying to buy air. You can't buy anything. There's nothing for sale. Well, you know, that is indicative of an illiquid market, folks. When I have a portfolio manager trying to buy the market tell me earlier today, when we were trading 120, 130 points higher on the Dow, that they could not buy the market because there was nothing for sale, well, that tells me that, you know, number one, the market isn't as illiquid as I thought it was. But number two, you're getting to that point. And what point is that? The point I was talking about yesterday, which is going to really happen after the election. It's more November and December type of action. But you're getting the desperation among portfolio managers, which drives the market higher. You know, it's one of those things where they sit back, and I'm going to give you an example of exactly what happens to a portfolio manager as they're looking at all this work its way through. They sit back and they say to themselves, how much longer can I wait? Because at this point, they know they're wrong. And why do they know they're wrong? Well, because guess what? The market's been up 15% on the year so far, and they're in cash, or they're way underinvested, and they're underperforming their benchmarks. So when that happens, you sit back, you pay attention, very close attention, to what the psychology of the market is. And in this case, with that suppressed valuation that I keep bringing up, it's that spring that is loaded.
when that takes off, folks, remember, you know, I always talk about, you know, hard money and easy money. You keep hearing me use those terms, all right? The hard money, folks, is when you bite and scratch against the grain for things. You know, the move from, say, 1250 up to 1450 in the S&P, as bullish as I was, as right as I was during that time, guess what? It was a painful trade. All right, I can tell you that right now. It was a painful 200 points to the upside in the S&P.
Now, having said that to you, that is hard money. Easy money, in my opinion, is what lies ahead of us. If indeed we see the Romney victory, which the market is starting to prepare for, by the way. That is the pricing mechanism that's taking place. Do not be surprised to see an upward drift up to 1480, maybe 1500 in the S&Ps over the course of the next couple of weeks. Why? Well, because the only selling that came in, as I said to you last week, which was the worst week in the market for so long, I kept hearing that from how many different commentators, right? Well, was nothing more than protective selling. I told you it was indirect selling. This was selling coming out of the options market that was buying protection for portfolios going into the uncertainty of the election. Well, guess what? That portfolio insurance buying is now behind us. So those portfolio managers that sat back looking at that market break and going, oh, here it is. Here's that break I've been waiting for. It's going down. You know what? I was right not to be invested, are now worried about buying the G.I. Joe with a Kung Fu grip for their kid for Christmas. That's right, folks. I love that line, by the way. It's an old line out of Trading Places if you're not familiar with it. But, you know, the reality is that they're stuck. They're stuck in cash. They're stuck in cash that's earning them nothing, or worse yet, in a 10-year that's earning him 170. And you see what's happening. It'll build momentum. Again, easy money comes when you see the market run. And you'll see it happen, folks. I'll tell you what. Easy money will be when we have a couple of successive days of 200 to 300-point gains in the S&P, or I should say in the Dow, and you see these S&Ps go up 30 handles at a crack. You know what I mean? Those are the easy money days. I want to give you an example of when we saw a run in the market, which I consider to be easy money. Look back in history, folks, on your charts, and watch and pay attention to the chart action and the price action that took place after Clinton was reelected. Market wasn't crazy about Clinton, if you remember correctly. You know, you had a president that tried to pass a health care bill, a very liberal president at the time, and there was a lot of angst about, you know, getting another Democrat in office. But there were a couple of things that I guess Clinton had going for him. One was Bob Rubin, who turned out to be, I think, one of the better Treasury secretaries out there. But the other thing was, you know, the fact that the market understood that he was business friendly. And what happened at the time was that the market ended up shifting direction. It went from being what I consider to be a bit of a suppressed valuation before the election to what I consider to be the easy money run after the election. In other words, the market ended up seeing Clinton not as an obstructionist, but as something that is the necessary evil. That, you know, I say it that way with a bit of tongue-in-cheek, but you know what? It's the old line, folks. You know, an occasional liberal in the White House will not destroy the entrepreneurial spirit. Well, that's exactly what it's like, regardless of who's elected the second time around, which is why I say it's a buy-buy scenario. And go through this logic with me with the last minute of this segment here. If you have Obama reelected, that means that he's only got one more term. That means that he's only got, and if he does get reelected, folks, let's face it, it's not going to be by a major landslide. I mean, we already see the polls for what they are. This is going to be one of the closest elections in history, I think, you know, I guess aside from the Bush-Gore election. But, you know, for me, I think what you will see happen is a market that will disregard the lack of leadership in the White House as opposed to play in to the lack of leadership in the White House. That's a big difference, folks. That's a big difference in valuation. It might not mean a thing for corporate profitability, but it means a lot for valuations.
Valuation, as I've said before, is the perception that is placed on the market. Remember, your hard numbers, folks, are the numbers that actually are being made by corporate America, which, I'll remind you, are twice what they were a decade ago. Corporate America is stronger, leaner, meaner than ever before in history. So don't let anybody tell you otherwise. So when you talk about a contraction in profitability for these corporations, folks, remember that. It is a contraction from all-time highs. Again, don't be left out of what is, I think, one of the best stories to hit the stock market, to hit all markets over the course of the last 30 years. Don't trade the market you want. Trade the market you have. So when it gives you opportunity, we'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And, you know, on days like this, I really love to hear what is, I guess, the pregame for the debate that takes place. You know, there is so much that you hear talked about, especially after the performance of the president in the last debate, that really leads us to believe that there's a lot of pressure on the man for this debate. You know, and here's one thing, folks, that I think I'd like to let people, and I want to remind people. I keep hearing about, you know, President Obama being Harvard educated. Well, you know, here's something that people forget. Mitt Romney not only got his Harvard law degree, but he got his Harvard business degree at the same time. All right, so guess what? You know, the man is no slouch. So I don't know why people are so excited and so, you know, surprised, you know, when they hear the man say something so articulate and so bright. You know, the bottom line is this, folks, that the president right now, and I've been fortunate enough to meet him, look, is not a stupid man. We know that, okay? But for the sake of this argument, let's call it what it is. The man, all right, is not a great debater, all right? He's a great orator. There is a big difference. And speaking about great orators, I think one of the best orators I know is right here with us. One of is a little bit of everything, folks. He's a blogger. He's a technician. He's a trader, an investor. I call him a Renaissance man. Of course, I'm talking about Alan Rohrbach, the founder of Rohr International. Alan, my friend, how are you today?
I'm good, Jack. How are you?
Do you like that as an introduction? That was a nice little build-up.
That's very good. I'm flattered.
Before we talk about anything else, first of all, I want to welcome you. I know you've been gone, and I've been gone. And,
well, I have.
You know, where did you go?
I went to Phoenix for the weekend for a great fair. Some friends had a son that was getting married. Nothing like getting in early on a Friday and enjoying three full days out in the desert sun. It's caught the swing season, Jack. Talk about the swing trade. You catch Phoenix. High as 80, low as 60. Doesn't get better than that.
This is the perfect time of year
this
to go.
This is the springtime.
Is
yes.
that what it is? You got to love that.
Transitions.
I'm a desert person. I think it's the Armenian in me. There's a bit of a desert in me that longs to get out. But I was just talking about the debate. And you know what? I want to talk about Europe with you when we get going. I want to talk about Citigroup. But let's talk about the debate because it's topical. It's right now. I'd love to hear, number one, your take on what's happened over the course of the last couple of weeks leading into this, number one. Number two, how much of it do you think is playing into the market? And then number three, I made a statement before you came on. I don't think you heard it. And I'm calling this the Romney rally because I'm seeing polls showing me that we're seeing, you know, Governor Romney and President Obama evening out. And for that, it looks to me as if there's some optimism and a risk on appetite that's being developed. So there you go. Run with it, my friend.
Well, and I think you're exactly right, Jack. There is a bit of Romney rally, and that also... We're going to jump back to it later, but that also has a lot to do with the very effective extended liquidity Band-Aid Europe's applying. So
you're absolutely right, but I do want to get to that later on.
Lack of a Europe crisis, and what you end up with here is the idea that, gee, Obama being in trouble wasn't a problem for the market. It's a problem for Mr. Obama.
Yeah.
And what we also have is yet an expectation. And this is where, much like the markets, Jack, when you get too much bullish sentiment and you know it could be topping or too much bearish sentiment like we had last Friday, and ultimately things worked out from over the weekend where the market's up. And we'll get back to the technical picture and the wonderful change there from over the weekend.
No, I really want to stick to the politics. I want you to put your political science cap on for this 8 minutes that we got here.
Because I wanted to say about that is we saw an analogous situation into October of 2004 when Kerry was doing fairly well in the polls against Bush and a couple things came along and his polls dropped and the market just started walking up. Remember specifically, it was very critical back down around 7,000 in the Dow. It backed off from about 7,600-7,800 early in the year in February and it spent the better part of 6 months in front of the election, nervous and not sure. And as much as things didn't work out later, you know, into 2008, when the market sensed that that's it, the Republicans are going to remain in power, it took off. And I think we're seeing an analog for that now.
Well, here the other analogy that I made, it goes back maybe 10 years prior to that, was the reelection of Clinton back in 96.
Absolutely.
And it feels the action in some ways to me, Alan, feels very similar to that. And one of the comments that I made just from a trading standpoint is that, you know, you have what I call easy money and you have hard money. The hard money has been behind us here. It's been tough. You know, these last couple hundred points, if you've been long, have just been grueling. The easy money for me is the run that you get, much like we got after that Clinton reelection. I'd love your thoughts on that.
Well, and we're seeing the technical vestiges of that now. We'll get back to the technical levels later, but the market has spent better part of a month since the QE announcements from ECB ramping it up a bit, and then Bernanke pushing it above 1740. $1,440.
Here is a question, and I'm sorry for that.
What a shock!
How about it? I have come to the conclusion, and this is really where I'm leading with this, that portfolio managers are tired of being suppressed, are tired of not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And even those that I find are very bearish, the market, are now what I would call probably the most nervous of shorts or nervous of neutrals
unbought,
I have ever
unbought
seen.
Bull squeeze. Unbought, that's what I call it.
You know,
Jack.
What? It feels very unique to me, especially these last couple of days. But give me your take on that, because you talk to a lot of portfolio managers. You talk to a lot of traders. You know people that are diehard bears. What are they telling you in this environment?
Well, they're telling you that they're still skeptical. As a matter of fact, I'm still a diehard bear, but you know my finesse, Jack. When I see a bear signal that doesn't work, and again, we'll have something very specific for your listeners in a little while. There was an incredible.
I'm looking forward to that, by the way. You've been bragging about this.
Yeah, I've been talking about that since yesterday, right away. The way we came in on the week this week, Greg Hadley from Bull and Bear Institute, when I walked in the office, he says, market's up for a couple of days. I said, Greg, that isn't the half of it. You just watch the turn. And I'll get more specific about what occurred in a little while. But the upturn from what has been this several-week reaction or month-long reaction. But in the meantime, what we have is portfolio managers like myself who are saying there is still trouble out there. The dilemma is just this shifts into Europe a little bit. If you have somewhat better data in Europe, somewhat better policy expectations in the U.S., and especially the European liquidity band-aid expanding, when you get done with it, the bears don't have anything to hang their hat on. And the nervousness into the weekend, substantially on Europe, was was significant. They were worried about what might come out of these World Bank IMF meetings. And what came out is something I'm saying in a blog I'm literally drafting right now, and I'm going to post right away. When Merkel, Draghi, and Madame Lagarde of the IMF are all on the same page saying austerity is great, rebalancing is great, but we've been trying to do it all at once. We got to give Greece some slack, and they just approved today. It was part of the pump up today. The ESM, the new European Stability Mechanism that is now funded and operational, ability to buy Spanish bonds. The bears don't have anything to hang their hat on, Jack.
Is the political problem behind us? I guess that's what I, you know what? Even here, even if we get a re-election of Obama, it's only 4 more years. You know what? It's a sitting duck president. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's almost as if, like I say, during Clinton's second term, the market starts to look beyond that. And
well, yes and no. I think because of the programs that Obama and the Democratic Party already have written into law, they're going to progress, like the health care reforms and other things. EPA, you know, it's the administration.
It's a tax. We were Supreme Court told us it's a tax.
I understand.
That means it could be repealed. See, that's what people don't understand.
No, I understand. That's all good. But the bottom line is, it's going to be a struggle if the president wins. It's going to be recovery if Romney
wins. In fact,
wins.
If anything,
get back to your main point.
It'll give us that suppressed valuation or continue with suppressed valuation. All right, let's take a few minutes, come back, and I really want to pick your brain on Europe. You started touching on it. Let's talk about that European Band-Aid. And the real question is, how is it working? This is the Jack B. Show. Don't go away.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B. Show.
One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, on a day where we're seeing, again, a lot of strength, which, according to my co-host here, is not a big surprise. Of course, we're talking about Alan Rohrbach. He's the founder of Roar International, one of the better blogs out there. What is it? Roar hyphen?
It's actually Roar International's blog. But if you want to search it, if you just go Roar hyphen R-O-H-R, Roar hyphen blog, it'll come up pretty high in any search engine that you'll see Roar International's blog.
I get it sent to me, so I don't search.
Right.
I like that. Hey, you know what? You were saying something in the break. You were talking about how there's been a major turn in the markets, technically. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about this European Band-Aid and the fact that it's working, because I think they kind of segue into one another here, don't they?
They absolutely do. And as we discussed a little bit in the previous segment, what you had was nervousness over Europe, but this is like a fact of life going back a couple of years. You know, every time the market breaks, part of it is Europe. The break was so bad in August of 2011 because we're also already, it's not raising the debt ceiling. So there's always some idiocy out there when the market's breaking. But this time what happened was people were concerned about the potential for, once again, Europe to talk a good game but not come up with enough of even a near-term solution. And as we mentioned, you had these IMF World Bank meetings, and you already had President Draghi at the ECB for a month and a half now saying, we're going to do what's necessary to save the Euro project.
Lagarde came out last week.
That's a long-standing IMF position. I mentioned that in my research
last
week.
Basically, she said failure is not an option. Everything that I've been saying.
Well, but also she said we must, of course, get back to fiscally sustainable government operations. You cannot count on borrowing, and we've got a huge debt load to write down and offset across time. But Greece was the crucible, and Spain was the secondary test where everyone started seeing what the IMF, what I was saying, what a lot of people are saying, is austerity alone an answer? Germany's so keen on austerity because they had a very good time of it during a rising economy. They got out in front of it, reformed their pensions, reformed their work rules, cut their government spending. Back in 05, 06, Schroeder got voted out in Germany because he was a little bit too supportive of reform.
That economy's still doing well. I was just in Munich. I saw more cranes, I think.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean, in the skyline than anything else.
So to get to the point of what that meant in the market, you know, in terms of the market price movement, and we don't want to run a technical analysis course on the radio, Jack. I know this.
No, but you know what? There was something significant that seems to have happened.
Was.
At least for not only you, but I hear this from a couple of different technicians at a time for me, fundamentally, when I should see very little going on. But I did say that we could see a drift up towards 1,500. But something.
But
go ahead.
This goes beyond the drift mentality. And this is where a market that peaked out at about 1465 in the December S&P, reacted to 1425, This goes back to, you know, early part of September, you know, after the big announcement from Bernanke on the quantitative easing. And then the market has spent a month and change in a trading range between roughly 1465 and 1425. Well, sometimes when these markets go sideways, when they first shoot up, like after QE, they're miles away from any support. They're at the highs. But as they work sideways, there is the significant, the major upward channel when you're all parallel lines around the price movement, significant upward channel from the June's all the way back at the 1235 level from back in June. The market was worked its way sideways and on the dip late last week got down to that major channel, which was at 1430. So you close below that. You close below the previous reaction low at 1424 on Friday. You go, boy, the bears not only have restrained the market at the highs and put it down a bit, they've created a breakout. Well, you know what this is, Jack? Technically speaking, if you want to conceptualize this, instead of thinking about looking at the charts and all that, it's like any business operation. It was a window of opportunity.
I kept saying you got to buy the dip for that. I mean,
exactly. But it was
not for the bears, for the bulls.
The bulls. Well, no, it was a window of opportunity for the bears having a down breakout that if they could defend it from about 1230 or a little higher.
Oh, see, to me, that's a head fake. To me, that's a bear trap. I see it completely differently because I see it as a bull.
Breakouts in either direction are either the next signal they're going to continue.
Or a trap.
Or they're the trap.
Yep.
The trap on the upside was the upbreak a week ago Friday, a week ago Thursday, right in front of the employment number above 1450.
All right, so bottom line, Alan, where are we with this trend?
And that's
here that
I want
you're
to mention
about?
That 1450 upbreak. So you had a minor sideways pattern. They broke up at 1450, and then they failed. Top of last week, they gapped lower when we were kind of on holiday for Columbus Day, and they headed down to 1425 area again. That was a minor failure at the upside, a failure of a minor up signal, and then they were still where there was lower support. The close below 1430 to 25 on Friday, that should have been a major bearish signal on the downside. The fact they took it away right away on yesterday morning and extended it today, bears are done. You had a major window of opportunity.
That was exactly the bear trap that I was worried about.
How many times have we seen this, Jack? How many times have you and I discussed, and I hate to bore the regular listeners because they're hearing this again, that we ended up saying, I'm skeptical of the market, but it would get down, and you'd say, well, Alan, we're down to this next support. What do you want to do? And I said, if it gets through, I think go a lot further. But if it doesn't, Jack, then you're going to be right. It's working its way up. Whole first quarter of this year, they kept selling off but couldn't break support.
Where is the upper end of this channel?
Excellent question.
And
it's
where
not
can
the channel
it,
anymore. Once the channel's broken out, you don't use the channel.
So what's your breakout target?
The likelihood now.
Give me that pie in the sky.
Two things are important. One is old resistance that didn't work becomes support. So first, just for you and all your listeners, you know, everything's kind of positive now. It's the bullish mentality. You know, the bullish sentiment is way up again.
Although you wouldn't believe it if you listen to some of these guys that are still bearish on TV.
Right. If it defuses in the short term, 1430, the first retest of a non-performing down break, is very strong support. So I'm very friendly anywhere near 1430 again, figuring they're not going to close below 1425.
All right, back to my original question.
But,
what's
but
your target on the
true,
upside?
If that's true, and they end up going through, continuing the uptrend, minimum is extending the rally, now that the down breakout hasn't worked, to the high they missed, the lead contract high they missed hitting on the rally a week and a half ago. That would be 1474.5. It was the high the September contract left in the post.
We're not too far from that. I mean,
no,
we're 25
that's
handles
bare
from
minimum. The bigger congestion and oscillator resistances are going to come in just below 1500, 1495 or so. And you have to allow they might print 1500, and then they'll be as overextended again as they were after the QE announcement.
Am I correct, Alan, in the saying that Alan Rohrbach's work tells him that this market is going higher from this point on?
On the short to intermediate term,
Until proven wrong?
Until it gets extended again. And until at this point, now it would have to get back below 1425 again. It left this false down break. It has to show the bears can get control again. They can only do that below 1430 to 25 on another downswing.
No, that was a very good explanation, Alan.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you for that, because a lot of people out there are always asking about the technicals of the market, and you gave a very, very good description of what you look at and how
it's
you look
at
it.
The old professor in me, Jack.
I like it. All right, let's take a few minutes, come back, wrap it up here for the day, and look at what Alan's looking at for the rest of the week and maybe next week. This is the Jack B. Show. Don't go away.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here with Alan for the day. And, you know, Alan, usually we get you on Thursdays only because I like to prepare people for the weekends. And there's very, you know, there are very few people out there that really get a grasp for what's going on fundamentally and technically like you do.
Macro technical
analysis. Well, you know what? I like that because, you know what, you really do are able to incorporate. I mean, too often people live and die by the charts. At least you take that step back and you look at something and you're saying, wait a second, no. And I mean, fundamentally, you know, from a macro point of view, this makes sense or this makes sense. So anyway, but let's get to it. That was enough of me patting you on the back. How about what's coming out here over the course of the next week?
There was another implied pat on the back, although it didn't necessarily relate directly directly to markets. A guy who's a major probability professor, analyst, has just come out with a book who says, I won't go into any of the detail, but he says that you can try all these different statistical methods, models. He says the problem is people don't combine them with each other to get the best of both.
Right.
I'm going to go get that quote out of this weekend's FT, and I'm going to be using it in my stuff.
You know what I've said all along? All of these things are tools, folks. And,
right.
You know, when Alan and I talk about direction, when we talk about, first of all, do your own homework. Know what a performance bond is, the fact you could lose more than you put up. All of this stuff that we are talking to you about, all right, is nothing more than information and entertainment that you need to take and turn into dollars and cents, but you need to do your own homework and know the risks involved.
Exactly.
But
so what we're seeing here, first of all, market-wise, again, having recovered above 1430, S&P is probably, this is December, S&P future is probably pretty good back down there, may start to struggle up into the 1460s, 1470s initially, but the bulls own the trend right now.
Well, that
folks.
Makes sense because that's right. The upper end of the trading range.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, we've seen it stall there a couple of times.
We know about the sophisticated signal that chop out Friday in recovery was. Most people don't even see that. So they're still viewing it as a ranging market. You're exactly right, Jack. Now, the other thing is, what does this mean in terms of other asset classes? Bonds will suffer for now. They may rally temporarily when the equity sell off, but folks, this is more and more so the time, something Jack has warned you about repeatedly.
Funny, you got Bill Gross on right behind you as you're saying that.
Saying
you
why equities are over.
You cannot see him. No, talk about bonds, but it's so funny because as Alan is saying that, Bill Gross is on, and this is the same man, by the way, that said that what the Fed is doing is getting us addicted to crystal meth, I think was
is
that.
It? I don't disagree with that.
that was his.
One more reason.
That was a direct quote from Bill Gross, who's running $1 trillion. I thought that was pretty bizarre.
One more reason, and he's not the only one, and one more reason why you have to be careful with the bonds. Jack, and I don't want to be an echo chamber here, but not stuff you said before. I lived through it in the late 70s.
Yeah, we got a big bear market coming in bonds. Right. It's a question of timing more than anything else.
Well, a lot of people are saying, well, if there's a problem in the world, though, bonds are still safe. They could still get the bid. Every time these problems dissipate, when equities hold the low of a break and bonds go
not
up.
If inflation is the problem and they start to get into a hyperinflation.
Even if
scenario.
Equities get better, which is a sign the economy may be getting better generally, you won't even need to see the inflation. Bonds won't wait to see
the inflation,
folks.
We're not there yet. Look,
the bond market will not wait to see the inflation. As if the economy continues to improve, the bonds will say, we know it's coming. And they'll have an anticipatory
but
break.
Alan, it's not there yet. And here's what I'm going to say to that, only because I've been saying it all along and people have been hearing me say it. Don't trade the market you want. Trade the market you have.
Right.
Right now, we have a very irrational bond market. It's one of the reasons I've thrown up my hands, as you well know, and say, I can't
fight
it.
You got out of the way.
I can't fight it, even though I know my gut and head both tell me I have to be short the bond market or be out of the bond market. I cannot be long the bond market.
Certainly not invested in it thinking you're safe.
Right.
Whether you're a trader, that's one thing.
It's
as
all
investors.
Risk and no return. It's
exactly.
Under the
you're,
rate
you're,
of inflation.
You already have a negative real return compared to inflation.
But what's out there right now, Alan, that people aren't paying attention to that maybe they should be looking at?
Well, on the short term, even though Europe getting better, the sense Europe is not going to have a further crisis, even if it's going to have a weak economy, I think a lot of the weak economy in Europe has been priced in to some degree. Now, you have a whole slew of Chinese data on Thursday. So on a near-term basis, if that's weak.
Chinese are bottoming out. There's a soft landing going out there, and people don't realize
it. You may get knee-jerk selling to that. And you also have U.S., the slug of news, the Philly Fed leading indicators along with jobless claims. So Thursday's the big day. Friday, things tail off into nothing too important. But looking out in the next week, I would say Monday is going to be kind of quiet, and what you're really going to have is IFO in Germany on Wednesday. That, of course, is going to be very important. No central bank meetings again this week, so you have to look at things like what's coming out of Europe. Even though it's been cured, the weak news might bring some
Are there any
response.
Auctions or anything that we have to keep our eye on or any announcements that the ECB or the IMF are going to make or Draghi or, you know, there always seems to be a speech being made or something being done or a shuttle diplomacy move that
right.
drives the market before I wake up and I didn't even know about it.
That's an excellent question. That's another thing you can get at Roarblog, folks, my weekly calendar.
That was an indirect plug for you. There
you
go.
I like the segue there, Jack. It works for me. But no, Thursday also, Chinese data early, and then you're going to have some significant longer-term Spanish and French and UK auctions, right? As those markets, their bond markets are stronger on the periphery, but UK's...
When do those happen? As they're closing or before we get in?
Oh, before
I'm going to assume it's
in,
about
always,
6 o'clock in the morning,
always,
our time,
always.
I think it
I'll
is,
tell
right?
You exactly. Central
no, but,
time,
yeah,
Chicago
it's usually...
time. Oh, I don't know. You know, if you're a night owl, you can catch the Spanish auction at 1:30 in the morning on Thursday. Might be what we have to look at.
You know what? That all depends on how late the night before is for me, Alan.
That's through to about 4 o'clock in the morning. That's all wrapped up. So we're going to see that influence. But also, once again, the fact they have now, you see Spanish yields back down around 5.5 from threatening to go above 6. Now that they've approved this ESM, the European Stability Mechanism, potential to buy the Spanish bonds, even if they don't ask for a bailout. If Draghi says it's disruptive, the market's just disrupted right now, it's very hard to come up for a case why the bond market's going to create any kind of disorderly response in the rest of the world.
No, well, you know what? I've been saying it, and you've heard me say it. Failure is not an option for the Europeans. It never was. And being out in Germany just recently when I talked to people, you know, they were laughing when I was talking about the breakup of Europe. They were like, are you out of your mind? That's never going to happen. And this is from Germans, Alan.
Right. And so on the sly, they're going, so we'll give the Greeks a few more euros for a couple of years. They don't want, you know what, they'd hate to see that. If the euro breaks up, the Deutschmark could be repegged at about... You know,
their standard of living goes down significantly all across Europe, including Germany. And that's one of the reasons I'm convinced that this whole nonsense about a Greek exit and a Euro breakup has been because it's been slow news over the course of the last couple of months. And they've had nothing else to report on. Alan Rohrbach, thanks as usual, my friend. Always
my
a pleasure having
Jack.
You
Great
on.
Being here.
For the rest of you out there, again, heads up. We've got a market that is very, very sensitive these days and a great debate tonight. Watch it. And we'll be talking about it tomorrow. This is Jack Borugin. We'll be seeing you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.